Good morning, beloved brethren. Back to Psalm 13 in your Bibles, please. Looking at when God seems far away. Below sea level, we find him pleading. And then tomorrow, we'll look at sea level. He's praying. And then this saint, King David, third, we'll see above sea level, praising. How do we get there? In the worst of times, at the lowest of points. First of all, verses 1 and 2, let's look at those this morning. Below sea level, he's pleading. Look at how he begins here. Do you hear his cry? Do you feel his pain? Do you catch the mood here? Perhaps we do, more than we might have a few months ago. It's for the choir director, a Psalm of David. This is to be sung. Sounds more like something you just would cry or wail. But God wants us to sing songs in a minor key sometimes as well, in contrast to so much of the empty, shallow, happy, clappy charismania of our age today that is being proven very hollow and false in the midst of this global crisis. Look at how he begins, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? In other words, until when, Lord? And beloved, this isn't a request for information or exact dates and times for heaven to reveal its clock or God's calendar. That would only depress us further, perhaps. If we'd find out things we weren't meant to know. No, friends, this is David bearing his soul to his heavenly Father. This is bleeding out our heart on God's altar. Verse 1, David starts sinking immediately. You can already hear the bubbles. You can see him going from bad to worse. Not only the fear that God has forgotten me and that he might keep forgetting me because his attention seems turned elsewhere and I just don't matter to him and he seems like he could care less and he's got more important things to do, but making matters worse is this haunting thought that God might be deliberately avoiding me. How long will you hide your face from me? He says there at the end of verse 1. It feels like God is reversing the Aaronic benediction on my life, how we end many of our church services, including this past Sunday. The way things are going in my life and in this world, frankly, it seems like someone's been saying to me, may the Lord curse you and oppose you. May he turn his face away from you and give you no peace. May he make you restless forevermore. Maybe for you that's acutely felt in your finance, in your work situation, in your health, in your marriage, perhaps your parenting, your spiritual life, worst of all, feeling that God has withdrawn his hand, he's left you to your own devices, he's getting even with you, or you don't know what he's up to. Sounds a lot like the book of Job as we've been learning on Sunday nights. Keep reading verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? In other words, as the NIV puts it helpfully here, how long must I wrestle with my own thoughts? It's driving me crazy, Lord. This internal debate makes me dizzy. David turns to his own resources only to be frustrated. He lies awake at night trying to find some escape, any way out of his troubles, but all his self-help fails. All his clever methods only drive him crazy and make him worse. He's just digging a deeper and deeper hole. His thoughts are going in circles. He talks himself into a frenzy. He says, I don't even believe myself. He's hurting and yet finding no way out. Maybe in the morning, maybe with the dawn of a new day, joy will come with the daylight. Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? A new day only brings new pain and more sorrow. My grief is so heavy, David says, it paralyzes me. The heartache is immobilizing. No relief, no let up to my sadness. pounding and pounding and pounding away at me. One wave of gloom after gloom after gloom against the shores of my soul. And then verse 2 concludes, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? The vultures are circling, waiting for my fall, hungry for their next meal. Which enemy is David referring to here? Doesn't say. It could have been many times in David's life. Often he felt exhausted, abandoned, hunted by King Saul, hated by his own sons. That's the point. We don't need to know because it's not just David's song. It's yours and mine. Fill in the blank, believer, child of God, your trials, our trials. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's the corona crisis. Maybe it's any number of things. We look at these two opening verses. Four times now, David's plaintive plea, this fourfold lament has been heard. How long, how long, how long, how long? Do you hear his pain, his desperate cry? How can we read these words and not be caught up in them, in their awful repetition, like a funeral dirge? Here is a man truly convinced God has forgotten him. As one writer puts it, it is not under the sharpest trials, but the longest ones, that we are the most in danger of fainting. Remember when Job first heard all the bad news? He stood firm. But later on, when it seemed his sorrows would never end, then he began to sink. Every pastor faces this eventually. The young mother with four kids, seated in her hospital bed, head bald from chemo, body wasting away, anguished eyes looking up as if to say, Pastor, where is God in my pain? Why would he do this to me, to my family? Not only pastors, every loving Christian faces this sooner or later. A friend in the church, and there you are with them at the graveside of their 12-year-old son, killed tragically in a freak auto accident that never should have happened, humanly speaking. As they watch their boy's casket lowered into the ground, they fear that their faith and hope will be buried with him. They look to you and say, Friend, has God forgotten us? And when the aching void still hasn't gone away, 10 years later, still they say at times, how long, O Lord, how long? And this is not just in helping others, but helping our own faith, for starters. We can't give hope if we don't have it. Inside, these gnawing questions arise. Has God forgotten me? Has he abandoned, given up on me? Will my sorrows ever end? Will my joy ever be restored? But we're not done. See you tomorrow.